Welcome to the Think Kingdom Church podcast. I'm Marcus Looney, the Creative Arts Director here at Think Kingdom Church. Thank you for joining us for week one of the series Rock the Bells. Let's go ahead and jump in and see what God's Word has for us with Lead Pastor Antoine Lassiter.
So we're going to rock the bells. Everybody say, rock the bells. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your phones out. They're already out, so I'm not even paying attention. I want you to get your phones out. Hashtag. Just put hashtag rock the bells. We're going to explain that in a minute. So if you're on social media, just put hashtag rock the bells. We're going to rock the bells going into this new season. I'm going to explain what the bells are, but let's just jump right into it. All right. So I want to live on mission. Thank you. Do you want to live on mission? What's a mission? It's not many of us. You won't distract me too much. If it gets out of hand, I'll send security to your row. So what is mission? When we say living on mission, what does that mean? Living on purpose, not by accident, but living on purpose. Some of us float through life with every wind that blows. I remember being younger. That sounds funny. I remember being younger. I remember when I was young, I would get all these calls about the greatest opportunity ever. If you're currently in a multi-level marketing or you're an independent business owner, I used to get a bunch of calls about, hey, I got a great opportunity for you. This opportunity has changed your life. And sometimes I dabble in it and sometimes I didn't. But what is most important about your career, your marriage, is living on purpose, living on mission. So you often hear me say our mission for Think Kingdom is what? Make disciples, make followers of Jesus Christ, not little Antoines or Antoine Juniors, but disciples. And so what I believe is the mission of the Big C Church, the global church, is to make disciples. Now, churches have different explanations as to what they're called to, but when the rubber hits the road, we are called to make disciples. So how do we do that? It's in all that we do, and it's all that we say should show the world that we are Christ followers. Not your words, but they should be able to look at you and see you living a questionable life. And the questionable life is, it's something about that person. What is it about you? You got a glow that's a questionable life, because Christ followers should, everywhere we go, there should be questions as to why we love the way we love, why we sacrifice the way we sacrifice, why we sacrifice on Sundays. Some of us get up literally at 7 a.m., 6 a.m. and trek. We have people traveling an hour away to get to the house of God. Why are you doing all that? We should live questionable lives. We should be able to live in grace, truth, and obedience. And then we proclaim the gospel, the good news. And this isn't just for a select few. This is not just for theologians or leaders. It's for everybody. Everybody. Because disciples live out the reality of God's kingdom. Right now, right here. So the next few weeks, we'll be unpacking practical ways to how to do this. Michael Frost is a missiologist. And what he came up with are five practical ways for all of us to be able to live out the gospel. So I want you to write notes. Use your phone, and I know some of you have telegraphic memories, but just humor me. The first B is bless others. Bells. God blesses us, and in turn, we bless others. The E is with eat with others. There's something about a shared meal, Tony. There's something about that dinner table that can draw people together. L is to listen. Listen for the Holy Spirit's voice. We're going to be challenging the entire church, even if they're watching online. We're going to be challenging the entire church to rock the bells. We're going to learn from Christ. We're going to study what Jesus did and what was his rhythm, a rhythm of prayer. He will still out in the night, in the morning, spend time with the Father. He walks out and he performs these miracles. And then we're going to live lives that are sent. That's the S. Living sent means to participate with God in the earth because we are all ambassadors. We're going to be blessing others. And so in order for us to bless others, you have to realize that you are a blessing. Like the moment that we talk about blessing others, sometimes we shy away because we feel like we have nothing to give. How can I bless others when I am struggling? And so our prayers are full of requests for God to bless us, to bless our families, to bless our nation, to bless our church, to bless our community, to bless our finances. And one of the most popular prayers is the prayer of Jabez. Donald Lawrence, if you don't know who he is, not a big deal, but he had this song. It's called The Prayer of Jabez. Enlarge my territory, increase. And we sung it like nobody's business. But we sung it from a personal level. He took that song from 1 Chronicles 4 and 10. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border or territory, that your hand might be with me and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. We have a tendency to pray needy prayers because we are needy people. So it's Jabez, but here's context. Say context. Jabez wasn't asking for a blessing that would only benefit him. He was asking for material. He wasn't asking for material things. He wasn't asking for luxuries. The context is because the people of God was rebelling against God, God promised destruction as the consequence. When Jabez was praying, he knew that because the people of God was in rebellion, that destruction was coming. So he was praying for provision, not prosperity. For him, provision was prosperity. So when he was saying, "Bless me, O Lord," he was literally saying, "Lord, give us what we need. We know that we have sinned against you. We know that we're not in right standing with you. But if you will," some version says he cried out to God in desperation, saying, "Lord, bless me so that we will have what we need so I can be a blessing to other people." Because what God will do is he will use trials to transform us. So God answers the prayers of the people by his will, not by our wishes. And so first, in order for us to be able to bless others, we have to see, take a deep breath, that you're a blessing. So what do I have to give? What I give, I'll get to that in a minute. Our proper view of how we should pray and what blessings are should be seen through a spiritual lens. You and I must see that no matter the state that we find ourselves in, we are blessed. So in order to bless others, we have to realize that we are blessed. A proper understanding of what God has given you. Your and my material blessings pale in comparison what God has done for us. We have eternal life because of the gift of Jesus Christ. So how many saved folks are in here? So you're blessed. You're blessed. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, verse 21. Is it up there? See, catching you sleep. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. What was that? Time. Really? I'm just kidding. Matthew 6, chapter 19. Matthew 6, chapter 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Well, we're going to talk when you get home. And where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, wow, there your heart will be also. So what I realize, that we spend our time, most of our time, acquiring stuff. We collect stuff. Our treasures, if not anybody here, because y'all are the faithful, but for some, what we have a tendency to do is just to collect more stuff. So some of my stuff are the cars I drive. And this is my life. And what I spend time doing is collecting stuff that Matthew 6, verse 19 reminds us that it fades away. But I spend all my time collecting stuff and it satisfies me for the moment. But the stuff does not last. So if I see the blessing of the stuff I have and I make that my treasure, I keep searching for more treasure and more treasure because that stuff will not fulfill me. So what the world is craving is not more stuff. They are craving your Jesus because they realize that the stuff they keep acquiring will not last. I keep getting more education and I'm less happy. I keep getting more money and I want more money because this stuff fades away. So when we talk about blessing others, the first thing we get to is more stuff. He's telling us, wait, yo, this stuff is not going to last. So why are you spending all your time trying to acquire more stuff? And then when the stuff doesn't fulfill you, the response is to get more stuff. It's nobody's a millionaire in here except for Bruce and Penny. I'm sorry. I let the secret out. But what we realize is when you start watching millionaires, how many more cars do you want? How many more houses do you want? I know people with three doctorates. I'm not knocking education, but I just do the math. You owe Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, all of them a whole lot of money. And then I talk to those folks, they're not happy. Because we take these temporary things to show our importance. And so a person who doesn't have this stuff believes that they have nothing to share. So when we talk about going and make disciples, the business owner, the Bank of America exec, the CEO intimidate us because why should they listen to us? So we quiet ourselves. Why would they listen to people who don't have stuff? But Jesus walks on the scene and everybody listening to him. He said, when they asked him about what he has, he said, man, look, foxes have holes, birds have nest. The Son of Man hath none of these. And people are listening to him because people are desiring eternal truth. They're trying to make sense of all this disease, pestilence, racism, social injustice. They're trying to make sense. And the people of God are yelling everything out except truth. Our block by block initiative over the last 3 weeks, we have distributed over 110,000 pounds of food. Depending on the size of the families, the minimum impact is about, families, we've reached nearly 5,000 families. And depending on the size of the family, that's anywhere between 10,000 to 15,000 people. And we're doing it with a handful of folk. So you can't tell me what a handful of folk who focus on Jesus can do. You can't tell me that. See, oh man, we've met physical needs by showing the love of God, but we don't have to have a big campaign to show the love of God. This is for all of us. I'm the chief of sinners. How am I feeding 5,000 families but won't walk across the street to the families in my own neighborhood? Man. And so I'm watching how we can rally behind events but have no lifestyle. I'm watching how we can pool all our resources together, and Brother Tony, we make it happen. But we still live in silos in our own communities. Do you not know that your house is an outpost for the kingdom? I treat my house as a place of refuge. And my conviction from the Holy Spirit was like, bruh, your house is not a place of refuge. Your house is a resource. Because he has placed us living on mission. We talk about living on mission. You are living where you are living, not because of the decisions you made, not because of your A1 credit, not because you don't have credit. You are living where you living because God needs to show the people around you who he is. I can't wait till Larry shares his whole testimony, the unedited version. Because when you start listening to people's story, you can see, man, the hand of God on their life. We got to start sharing it. Here's the crazy part. When my wife was struggling with her knee, I was struggling with my shoulder. We're getting older. But as I was helping her, I forgot about the pain in my shoulder because I was focused on her. Check that. The problem is that sometimes we focus on our own pain, and that incapacitate. Thank you. I needed this victory, and you just bailed me out once again. But I needed this victory. All right, and when I took my eyes off myself, I took my eyes of my own pain. So maybe the reason why some of us are not feeling the blessings of God is because we're so focused on what we don't have. We keep focusing on if God would do this. And if you see your life as a person that's on mission, Matthew chapter 6, if you keep going down, he says, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. He keeps saying it because in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So if you stay about your Father's business, those things that you're worrying about will be added to your life, because he will give you everything you need to be able to bless others with news of the kingdom. God gives us what we need to advance his kingdom. Y'all got to hear that. You have everything you need Listen to me. If you don't hear nothing else I say, it'll be upsetting, but take this home. God has given you literally everything you need. You just have to partner with him. Think about Moses. Moses has this divine meeting with God, takes off his shoes. He's in the hole. He's in the desert, burning bush, takes off his shoes, and he's in the presence of God, and he knows this God. He says, Lord, and then he says, and then God's like, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to be my mouthpiece. And first thing Moses says, well, you know, I stutter and I'm not able. I have given you everything you need. I called you with that deficit. I called you with that disability. Don't explain away that limp. Show through the limp the grace of God. Man, I'm an amen myself. Amen, Reverend. Preach, Reverend. Because practicing blessing others, y'all put this down. Practicing blessing others will always lead to becoming habitually generous. So I'm trying to establish you and I have what we need to practice blessing others because we want to habitually bless others. So before I preach it, I have to practice it. Me and Rob went to a grocery store, and we got $20 gift cards. And so while we were doing it, the gift card machine wasn't working, so we were spending some time talking to Demetria, who, we were just having small talk. And Rob exposed to her that I was a pastor. I was trying to be incognito, you know? Yeah. And she's like, oh, I know it because I got an uncle who pastors, and you got that talk. So I got an uncle who pastors. He talks like this. Well, Doc. But that's not me. Anywho, so as we get to know her, you know, people went from heroes to zeros that fast. Teachers were heroes, and now they're zeros. During the whole COVID-19, it's when the teachers were able to modify their schedule and their learning skills and stuff like that. They were heroes. And now that some of them are skittish and coming back to in-person classrooms, people are talking trash about them. Same thing with essential workers. And so as we were talking, and police officers, sorry, police officers. He's a police officer. So, yes, my man. Same thing. Now that we're coming over the other side and we're tired of this, I mean, because just we're tired of our kids. We want to send them to school. But that's just, you know, I get it. No, we're not. Okay, right. Yes, I was corrected. Some people are tired. And now there's pressure to return to in-person gathering and all that stuff. And so as we were talking to her, we were talking about how we want to be a blessing and a blessing to her. And she couldn't receive it. She's like, no, I work. I don't need any handouts. Hey, this is not a handout. Then she comes and explains to us that the past couple of days, she actually blessed her coworkers with lunch. So as we're still talking to her, I'm saying, okay, so what's your favorite food? She says she's from New Orleans. She likes seafood broil. That's how much you think that the seafood broil is. She was like, I don't know, $35, $40. We gave her $40 so that she can bless herself. But then we had to teach her that here she is blessing others. She has to be able to receive because you are hampering us from blessing you. So here's the crazy thing. So me and Rob are now walking in Aldi's just passing out $20 gift cards. And you should see the people's face light up. No, we didn't tell them what church we went to. Because if you bless people with a motive behind it, and that's what we do in the church. We bless people because God demands it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so we have to have these habits of generosity if we're going to change culture. You yelling on your Facebook page changes nothing. So somebody just said, so I got to stop yelling? Yes. 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 We want to bless others. And then we just said, God bless you. And people start saying to us, God bless you. We can change culture by rocking the bells, by blessing others. So here's three things I want you to do, because here's the challenge. Play me something. Here's the challenge. There's three things you can do to bless others immediately. Words of affirmation. Use Facebook to promote grace and truth about Jesus, not mask or elections. Call someone you haven't spoken to in a while and just have an encouraging conversation. Man, I was thinking about you. I should have called you before, man, but you ran across my heart just thinking about you. Everyone wants to feel valued, loved, and have a sense of belonging. How about just sending a note to your mailman? I mean, I don't personally like him because he sends bills, but that's not his fault. Just thank you note. How about reaching out to a teacher? I said, I'm praying for you because I know all this stuff is going on. Words of affirmation. Some of us need to start in our own households. When was the last time you told your husband, I love you? Last time you told your wife, girl, I'm sorry. When last time you caught your kids doing good, not doing bad? When was the last time you pulled your son, daughter, whomever aside, said, I'm just, wow, I'm so proud of you, how you're navigating this hard time. I mean, I've watched online sermons and I get so distracted listening to Pastor Antoine. How are you doing? How did you do it during school? How about we do that? The second thing that we can do to immediately start blessing others, not a deep message, but a practical one. Acts of kindness. Write this stuff down because I'm going to challenge you this week. Opening doors for people. For all you car road ragers, how about letting the person just get in front of you and not cursing them out? Not anybody here, it's just Rob. How about reaching out to a neighbor and saying, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. If you have the money, if you don't have the money, you can do it this way. And there's no need for both of us to go out. I can. Or how about just knocking on your neighbor's door? Listen, you've been living here for so long, and I just haven't introduced myself to you with busyness. How about just doing acts of kindness? How about, this is me, how about picking up the trash in your neighbor's yard? That irks me. Well, I'm going to practice being generous. They see it there. Why are they picking it up? But I'm going to practice generosity. I'm constantly reminded at the sharing house that I never smile. And my response is because I smile inside. I'm going to make it a point this week just to smile. I smile for one woman. I'm going to make an exception. How about offering to help someone? Here's the thing. You don't ever tip. Stop that. Stop that. Because when that food is wrong, everybody and their grandma know it. But the expectation is always that the food is right. How about just slide them a little something? Saying thank you. And then there's gifts. Tangible ways to show the person is cared for and thought of. It doesn't have to be expensive. You don't have to go out and buy an Apple Watch 5 for me. You don't have to do that. But if you want to, just gifts. Random gifts. this Apple Watch 5 with the cellular thing so I can talk to people doing this. But you don't have to. How about leaving a note in the mailbox for your carrier with a $5 gift card to McDonald's? Thank you. What about just leaving a note of a gift, just choosing someone randomly?
And that was lead pastor Antoine Lassiter kicking off the series Rock the Bells. And all that we do this week, let's not forget to bless others. If you are blessed by anything you hear on this podcast and you feel led to give, feel free to text the word give to 704-741-3705. Thank you so much for walking with us this week. You can hear this series and more right here on the Think Kingdom Church podcast.